Second hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on this Tuesday. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. Elijah Campbell manning things at our game studios. Our show is brought to you by and presented by Creation CBD. Creation CBD, products curated for life. We always enjoy our chats with our next guest. And, boy, we're going to pick his brain today. Bernard Pollard is on the line with us. Former Titan, former Raven, and before we get to that, Bernard, just because the last couple of times we've had you on, besides just talking about the pigskin, we've talked about your new love for racing, and of course we know what you did here at the Nashville Super Speedway in June. What did it mean to you yesterday as a new race fan to see Bubba Wallace win his first ever race, cup race at Talladega yesterday?
Hey, first and foremost, thank you guys for having me. I think, you know, when you look at Bubba winning his first race, it was awesome to be able to see the excitement, you know, from him and his team. You know how hard he's worked. You know, obviously going to a new team with Jordan, the 23. But dude, it was exciting for me. It was super exciting for me to be able to just witness that for a guy that had worked his butt off to get his first win in the Cup Series. That was just awesome.
Yeah, and to think about it, and he even talked about this yesterday because he did his rounds, and that's what you do when you're a headline story. And he talked about, you know, all the adversity and some of the crap that he's had to deal with. It's well documented, the story that came out, you know, in the garage last year, him having to deal with that. And, you know, to get through all that and to power through all that, you know, that trying to make it in the NFL, man, it's no joke. Some of the mind games and stuff you have to deal with just within yourself, right? Just to get up to play or do something at the highest level in the world, which is what the sport he's in, and to overcome that and to get a win yesterday, it must have felt like, you know, five wins to him.
Definitely. I definitely agree with you on that one. And I mean, I don't know if we can put ourselves in his shoes because it's very difficult. As a driver, I've heard stories from black drivers who they're trying to get in motocross and all these other different places. And you have a small percentage of people that, you know, they say things, they do things to try to make you feel uncomfortable, to make you run away, to make you stay away from the sport. But I think the way he has persevered and just continued to fight his way through this and his career, and then to finally get a win, I know all of those emotions came back up, and I mean, just encouraging young people, young brown and black people who look like him, and others to just continue to fight the good fight and go, no matter what obstacles are in your way, face the adversity head on and just continue to grind, and it'll pay off.
We're dying to get your reaction to something we just talked about the last 15 minutes of the last hour. One of the storylines in the NFL was the Ravens and Broncos finish to their game. Ravens win 23-7, and you're like, what headlines could come out of that? They cruise to a victory in Denver. I happened to be watching. I told these guys I was watching the Red Zone and Red Zone channel, and they happened to go to it at the end of the game. Drew Lock throws an interception in the end zone. And essentially, that's the end of the game. And for some reason, they didn't cut away. And so I was watching it live, and I told Willie and Chase, I'm like, I was sitting there going, what are they doing? Like, why is Lamar Jackson in a shotgun? I didn't know what was going on. Obviously, we have found out everything that was going on. They were keeping a streak alive in 43 games. A record now ties the Steelers, and they can break it this week. As a player, let's just start with, as a player on the other side, okay, on the defensive side of the ball, like if you were a Broncos player on defense, what would your feelings be today, knowing what you know now and how that all played out?
Well, I think, you know, for me as a defensive player, if you don't like what the offense is doing, you need to do something about it. You need to do something to stop it. And if you can't stop it, you know, then there's no reason to cry about it. You know, but talking out of both ends of my mouth, I think this is what the Baltimore Ravens have done the last 3 or 4 years. They pad stats. They want Lamar to, which he's an exceptional athlete. He has been playing really well. I think when you look at what's going on and the teams that they've played, I mean, They played a couple hard teams. But I think, you know, even with Denver, Denver really haven't played a hard football team who's going to come in and play good ball for four quarters. And they finally face one. And then, you know, obviously with the athlete under center with Lamar. But, you know, I think, you know, if you don't like what they're doing, if you can't stop it, don't cry about it. You need to go watch film, figure out how to stop it, and if you face them later on down the line, cool. If not, you know, you gotta just hold it together and keep fighting.
Okay, so since you were a former player and you know all about that Ravens system, well, if you were on that sideline and that happened, knowing what you know, how would you feel? Are you cool with it? Is that a coach looking out for his team? You know, I don't know. Tell us what's the player mentality for the Ravens? Does Harbaugh get brownie points for it?
Well, I think, you know, you got to look at just the type of football team he's built there. You know, he's got his guys in. And so those guys are all about when they're front runners, you know, when it's good, it's good. But when it's bad, they fall apart. And so, you know, I look at it from a different angle. I think if we're on the sideline, I think if you look at us, our team that was there in Baltimore, we'd have probably been like, hey, man, down the ball, whatever. Don't go send our guy back out there, because you just don't know if you got a head case that's looking like, okay, y'all want to be in shotgun? I'm hurting any and everything that tries to run or pass this ball. So, you know, I know where we would have come from if that was our team. But, you know, once again, this is his team. They chase different things like that. This is teams where they want to gamble. And, you know, and this is what they built. And, I mean, if you don't like it, you got to be able to stop it. But I think this is today's football. Today's football, they have taken the aggression out of the defensive players. This is an offensive game. It's no longer a game like it was 6 or 7 years ago. This is a different football game, and sometimes it's hard to watch because you're just looking like sometimes these defensive players, they go into games losing because it just by rules alone, they're not set up to win.
Bernard, you know what else is hard to watch? Ben Roethlisberger. You went up against him a lot in your playing days. I mean, this dude looks like he's 68 years old. I mean, This has got to be awkward, right? Like Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season. And as long as they keep trotting out Big Ben, like, I think that record's about to get broken, because I don't know how you win, you know, 9 games with that guy. He's a statue. He can't move. He can't throw. I mean, like I said, he looks like he's 68 years old.
It's funny you say that, my son. So I try not to watch a lot. It's hard for me to watch a lot of football, but my son came to me and was just like, Dad, Roethlisberger sucks. And I'm just like, oh, you can't say that. And then I'm just hearing so many people just continue, you know, to say the same thing. And I'm just looking like, what is really going on in Pittsburgh? And, you know, you look at the preseason, and I was like, okay, wait a minute. Pittsburgh looks like they're going to, you know, do a little damage this year. They got some things rolling. They changed a little bit up in the offense. But, I mean, you know, from the highlights and things that I've seen, you know, you have to make a decision. With him, I don't know if a guy like that can continue to get away with not practicing with the football team and just showing up on Sunday and thinking he's going to be this Superman, you know, under center that's going to be able to put your team in the best position to win football games. I think that time is over for him, you know, so they're going to have to make a decision. Because they got a backup that can throw the football, that can potentially energize this offense and allow them to go be successful. Because the defense can play ball, but it's tough when you're out there watching your offense continually turn the ball over and put you in bad situations. It's hard to play through on a consistent basis, and so. You know, Tom is going to have to make some decisions. I don't know how much Ben Roethlisberger has left in the tank. I don't know how much he has left in the tank, but, I mean, at the end of it, when we look at it, it's not really looking good. The stuff he's putting on tape just does not look good at all.
Look, if you want to pad your career stats, you need to just go sign with whoever plays the Steelers every week, and you can pad, you can pad Bernard Pollard's stats if you want to get some sacks. On that resume.
No, man. No, they ain't allowing me back in the NFL. I hit too hard.
Bernard Pollard, Crush Boy, is here with us, a former NFL safety. And speaking of hard hits, you know, obviously we know your history against the Patriots and Tom Brady, but he makes his return to New England on Sunday night. What did you think about all the buildup of that and then the game itself as he returns and gets the victory, albeit a tough one that he had to earn?
Hey, man, I actually watched a little bit of that game. My son had it on, and you know, Brady is what he did in New England is spectacular. You know, I think, what, 9 Super Bowl appearances, 6 wins or whatever it may be. Yep. You know, so you look at what he's done for the organization, for the city. You know, it's just been it's been spectacular. So, you know, it was going to be tough being able to step into that crowd and to be able to play. You know, obviously he's playing against his former coach, and they know some things that he, you know, is good at, some things he's not good at. I thought defensively they did a really good job. The corners, I don't know what they were doing most of the time, but for the most part, they played a really good game. I thought offensively for the New England Patriots, they played really well. You know, so it was a good game. I was actually surprised with the way that Tampa offense and defense was doing, was going. But, you know, obviously we got to look at it. The injuries with Tampa Bay, they're facing a lot of injuries in that secondary. And I thought Mac Jones did a really good job as far as he picked on Sherman the entire time. You know, Sherman is not a man corner, and he took advantage of that. I thought his OC, they did a good job game planning, knowing that Sherman was going to play, and Jones came out, I mean, just dispersed the ball to his receivers. And they answered. And so this is going to be a good team. You know, I thought they made a good decision with getting rid of the quarter, whatever that the quarterback name is. They had get the guy, Cam. But you know, to put Mac Jones, Cam Newton. So getting rid of Cam Newton, putting Mac Jones in, allowing, if they're going to mess up, if they're going to struggle this year, they want to mess up struggling with a quarterback that can throw the football and throw him in the fire, let him learn. And, you know, this kid is going to be really good in this system. So it's exciting to see what New England is going to be able to do for the rest of this year. But Tampa Bay, you know, the grit, just the balls, the accuracy, the athleticism, offensively, defensively, it's just really good. They're a good football team.
Getting some wisdom from Bernard Pollard. So Bernard, you've been in many locker rooms, many weeks, and in a league that has a salary cap and has the parity, there's always that game that you lose to a team that you don't feel like you should lose to. So give me the feeling and your approach as a leader to try to get back on the horse after you have a loss like the Titans had to the Jets, where you're sitting there going, you know what, we didn't have this guy, that guy, but man, we got to figure out how to beat the Jets. You can't lose games like that. It feels like the world is ending, but there's still a long way to go in the season.
It's definitely you definitely have a long season ahead of you, but I think, you know, when you lose a game like that in overtime, you know, when your kicker can't make the kick, I've lost the conference championship game, Billy Cundiff missing the kick. But obviously that was, you know, in the playoffs, you know, one game out of the Super Bowl. But I think when you look at this Titans football team, you know, they're fighting, they're scrapping, they're trying to find their way. You know, you got a couple guys missing on offense, but you're still in the game. And I think, you know, when it's all said and done, you have to look at it and say, you know, our guys that were supposed to that stepped up, that filled in, they did a good job for us. They gave us a chance to win. We put ourselves in a good position to win a football game. It doesn't matter. I look at it and I say it doesn't matter if it was against the Jets or if it was against the Buccaneers. You know, I look at it and I say any team can win any game on any Sunday. And I truly believe that. This is the National Football League. You know, their guys get paid as well. They are spectacular elite athletes that's doing what less than 1% of the world can do as well. So, you know, they may not be a really good team, but they do have really good individuals that can put some things together. And so you just look at the Jets, and that's what the Jets did against the Titans. And so, you know, I just think the Titans got to – I don't know what it's been the last few years with kickers, man, but they're going to have to get some, you know, they're going to have to get a guy that they can trust, or guys going to have to make plays so that they don't put it in the hands of the kicker, because man, that freaking sucks to lose a game like that. And it's going to happen, but you know, you just got to get back on a horse and grind this week and get ready for next Sunday.
BP, you talked about earlier the hard hits that you had in your career, but what do you think about the evolution of the position you played at safety, you know, since you've been out of the league since 2014, like how it's changed so much since then?
Well, it's changed big time. I you know, you look at the safety position As I said earlier, they've taken the aggression out of defensive players. You know, you can't hit the – I think my son had on red zone as well, and the linebacker for the Arizona Cardinals, he came in and hit Matthew Stafford literally with his hands and pushed him down, and it was an interception on the play, but they called roughing the passer. And, I mean, it's just different plays like that because, they want these guys – they want points on the board. They want offensive players to go and showboat and all this other stuff. You look at a lot of the other penalties where they're saying, taunting, all this other stuff. You know, a guy spiked the ball yesterday, I think it was, on the sideline, Waller. He spiked the ball on the sideline and was looking straight ahead, wasn't looking at nobody else. Now, I kind of understand the spiking the ball because the refs got to hit the ball. So you got to make that call according to that call. Don't say he was taunting. He wasn't taunting. If anything, it was a delay of game because the ref had to go get the ball that he spiked. So I just think, just the rule changes, the aggression with the taking aggression out of defensive players, it's just so different. You're telling a cornerback and a safety that he can't go in and go low on a pulling lineman. You know, they want those guys to go head up with these linemen. That's a collision that they're not going to win. So if anything, that's going against player safety. You know, let's even the playing field and allow DBs to be able to cut O-linemen. Don't just say you can't cut them, but you want them to go sit there and go head up with them. You know, so we're talking safety, but then we're talking stupidity at the same time. I just don't like the fact that, when you look at the NFL, and I played in this, you guys have watched it for so long, the guys that are making the rules have never played. You know, these guys are at the rule committee, they're not playing. And so when you change the game like this for former players and guys that have played the game and people that are watching, they're not dumb. We see what's going on, and it's just not good football. And sometimes that comes back to bite your team in the butt because you're looking like, okay, the stupid freaking rule that changed, our guys couldn't do anything.
That's a good point, and it makes me appreciate, Bernard, the defensive players who still flourish given the rules the way they are right now. It is so set up for the offense to do well. I'm sure you would agree.
Yeah. Exactly. It's set up for the offense to do well, and it just sucks because offensive players are pushing off. I was looking at, I think it was yesterday, whenever it was, you're looking at all of these shifts, and guys are literally running towards the line of scrimmage and then moving off, and they're saying, okay, well, that's a shift or that's a motion. No, it's not. You're trying to get the defense to jump off sides. Like, that's cheating. Like, so it's so weird for me to watch all of this, and I'm just looking like, this is crazy. So they lucky I ain't playing no more because I would have tried to slap every sucker running. I'd have took some players out the game because we'd have figured this thing out real quick.
Bernard Pollard here with us. BP, appreciate the time as always. Congrats on your Talladega victory on iRacing. I enjoyed the victory video. That was awesome. So you're having some fun.
I'm having a blast, man. Thank you guys for having me. I'm about to jump on here in a little bit on the road and practice a little bit. So hope to see you on soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, BP.
All right, see you guys.
Bernard Pollard, former NFL safety, of course, Titans safety, Ravens safety as well. Spent a long time in the league. Always enjoy his perspective here on the show. We'll have much more coming. Willie's got a topic that he's going to throw at us
when
we come back. But first, he's going to tell you about loans.
I am going to tell you about Loan Pronto, and then when we come back, I'm going to hit Darren and Chase with an observation I had about the overtime format in the Titans-Jets game and how it would have been different under some different circumstances.
You don't hit as hard as BP, so that's good.
No, I didn't claim that I did. Did I?
Yeah, no. You just said you're going to hit us.
I won't hit you hard, but it'll be a mentally challenging question, though. It's going to spark great debate.
Glad
I believe.
Glad.
Yes. So
goodness.
It's a different type of impact. Okay.
I would love to touch on the taunting he brought up too from last night. Just saying. Just touch on it.
Very different subject. So we have a lot of segments left in the show. So this is all going to come out in the wash here. But let me tell you about Loan Pronto in the meantime. Loan Pronto has the ability right now for you with a streamlined process, all digital now, to refinance your house in about 2 weeks, give or take a day or two. That is such a great thing to think about these days because back in the day, and I've done it many times, the refinancing of your home could take a long, long time. A lot of paperwork, all that stuff, appraisals and things like that. It just takes a lot of time. Loan Pronto has really done a great job to try to streamline this process for you. And with mortgage rates the way that they are, if your mortgage rate starts with a 3 right now, you need to call Loan Pronto right now at 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780. Check out what they've got in terms of being able to give you the zero-cost refi. Not only have they streamlined the process with an all-digital outlook, they also can give you no closing costs. It's going to save you money. It's going to knock off hundreds of dollars a month on your mortgage payment, and then you get to skip the next couple of house payments when you work with Loan Pronto as well. So in the short term, you're really going to get a bump with your monthly budget. You got to love it. LoanPronto.com or 615-499-5780. Ask about the zero-cost refi. Equal housing lender.
NMLS 1661781. Subject to lender approval. Not all loans eligible for zero-cost option.